Welcome back on this beautiful Monday. Bob Pompiani here with Austin Bechtel. Joe had to leave early. It's the Pomp and Joe show. And we continue to break down the NFL. It is a reaction Monday. We've got a lot of reaction so far about the Steelers. Some people still not satisfied with everything, but that's what it is. They won a game. They did. It was an exciting game. One of the best we've seen as an opener in quite some time, I'll have to say that.
I mean, it was the best game of the opener until last night's Buffalo-Baltimore game went the way it did. That was trending to be a blowout at one point.
And I think people in Buffalo left. There were people who left the scene. And if you did, you missed one of the more miraculous. They've had some good endings there. The Oilers and the Buffalo Bills in that 35-3 game that turned out to be the Frank Reich. I mean, you never know in sports what you're going to get. And if you leave early, you could risk watching something that you may never see again.
Yeah, you can't leave a game early unless it's, you know, a 10-1 baseball game or a 28-0 game. You might end up with the Brian Giles type of game.
That's what I mean.
You
if
never
you missed
know.
That. I mean, that was one of those Lanny Fratteri moments where they called that all the way back. They were down how many? 8 runs in the bottom of the ninth?
I think it was 6 in the ninth.
Whatever.
But two outs,
nobody on base.
Yes.
And then at that point, you're probably in the parking lot. You're thinking it's over. And then you go in your car and you're listening to the rest of it. And you say, oh, no, I shouldn't have left. So let's go around the league. All right, Austin, we have a lot of games to talk about. We'll begin with the one last night since you brought it up. Man, 41-40, Bills come away with a win. They scored 16 points in the last 4 minutes. At one point of the fourth quarter, they were 99.1 win probability was Baltimore. They had a 0.9 win probability to Buffalo. And then everything imploded on the Ravens. First of all, classic game. One of the best I think I've ever watched. I don't know if we'll see another one like it. Could be the game of the year in week one. What's your big takeaway about this game?
These are the two big dogs of the NFL, and we knew it, or at least for the AFC. Like, sure, Baltimore ultimately lost the game, and their defense looked very sluggish late in that game. Derrick Henry fumbles. Mistakes cost Baltimore. The Ravens' inability to close out some games is kind of an oddity to me, and that's why I can never pick them to win the Super Bowl. But these are just two Hollywood elites that went at it, just trading blow for blow. We know how good both offenses are. We know how good both quarterbacks are. Sometimes you just put it all out there, sit back and watch. And that was my main takeaway from this game. Just good entertainment.
Never would have thought once Baltimore got the ball back in the fourth quarter and Derrick Henry gets a carry, and he had 18 of those for 169 yards, 2 touchdowns, was just dominating as he's done in the past against the Bills, and then he fumbles, of all things. And they immediately cashed in on that. But there were more throws that Josh Allen made. He was terrific in that 5-minute window where he picked up like almost 200 yards passing in that time when they scored those 16 points. It was incredible.
But again, Baltimore still got the ball back.
And they couldn't move the ball.
They didn't move it at all. It was, what, 3rd and 9 where they weren't able to convert?
Right. And, you know, they had moved it all night. I don't know if they got a little conservative there or what, but the bottom line was once Josh – you don't want to give Josh Allen the ball or any of these guys who are elite the ball with time left. We saw one of the more over – look plays in this game, as I told you earlier, was the 3 points they got right before halftime because Baltimore was on their way to the locker room. They made a completion. It looked like the guy was out of bounds, like time had expired. They put 1 second on the clock. That gave Prater a chance to hit a field goal. He did. Without those 3 points, they don't win either.
No, they had like probably 0.3 if we're looking at like a basketball clock and, you know, tenths of a second. That's all that was left. But, Bob, I wonder this. Like with the Ravens, I think they think too much. In some of those moments in the fourth quarter when they're up by 10 points and all the other teams starting to come back, they try to get too cute. It seems like they just lose themselves.
And John Harbaugh is the guy in charge of that program late in the game. He has to, you know, they have to go out and execute, but he has to put them, I think, in a better position. I thought they got too conservative. I did. I thought they played, okay, we have a lead. That's just not – sometimes you got elite talent. You got to put it away by, you know – Lamar Jackson on a first down, once they got the ball back, I think this is after the first touchdown they scored, Buffalo was still down. Everyone was looking for Henry to get it. He got it for a gain of like 15 yards. And you're thinking at that point, that's it. There's no way they're going to stop him. He stayed in bounds. He kept the clock running. And then the turnover happens after that. All right, let's move along to the other AFC North game. And this was a dud. But the Bengals somehow survived, and Cleveland had every opportunity to win this game. 17-16, Cincinnati wins to get to 1-0, which is not the way they've opened up the season before, but thank goodness for them, they played the Browns, who missed an extra point and a field goal in this game. And if you look at the strict numbers here, this offense of Cincinnati, which is handsomely paid, did nothing, as Joe Burrow was 14 of 23, only for 113 yards. That's it. T. Higgins had 33 yards. Jamar Chase, just two catches. If you gave those numbers to me ahead of the game, I would have said they would have lost.
They would have
somehow
lost.
They won.
Bob, this game to me is that guy in the old Progressive or Geico commercial with the fishing pole, the dollar on the fishing pole. You almost had it. You have to be quicker than that. That's what it was with the Browns, because I'm going to be doing this for all 17 games this year, just hoping that the Browns win games that they shouldn't, so that their draft position is so much worse than it should be. And this is one of those games, Bob, where they had a golden opportunity week one early in the season. They're feeling good to be able to win a game. They luck into 5 or 6 wins this year. And then, they don't get the number one
pick
in the draft.
Browns is the Browns.
And the Browns is the Browns. But
they're going to be drafting another quarterback next year. This quarterback thing, just think if they had kept Baker Mayfield, which is where I'm going to go next, because I'm bullish on Baker. I thought Baker Mayfield was my preseason pick to win MVP of this league. And yesterday he didn't disappoint. On the road in Atlanta, he had 3 touchdown passes. He wasn't as sharp early in the game, but they won, and they beat an Atlanta team that I'm not sure what Atlanta's doing. You know, they gave all that money to Kirk Cousins, and Michael Penix Jr. is their starter. He deserves to be their starter. They drafted him, and he did okay. He had 1 touchdown. But Baker Mayfield, when he had to, and when everyone's healthy on that team, Emeka Abuka is going to be a real big part of it, and he was yesterday.
He had 2 touchdowns. Abuka looks really good. I wondered how he was going to be able to fit in when you have Mike Evans, you have Godwin. Seems like Abuka was their guy, and he could be their guy for the next 10-plus years. He has that elite talent. Raheem Morris is a smart coach for Atlanta, but Atlanta, don't you feel like they're just a team stuck in purgatory? Like they're not moving anywhere?
No matter who's in charge, no matter who,
they're stagnant.
But again, it was a critical move. They gave a ton of money to Cousins, and they had to know. He was getting up there in age, which is one of the reservations the Steelers fans had with Aaron Rodgers. He's up there in age. What can he do? But clearly, Aaron Rodgers can still wing it, and Kirk Cousins can't get out of his own way down there. And
he can't even get on the field.
No, and that's the problem. All right, this is my team to win their division, the Indianapolis Colts. I picked them to win the division this year because I don't think the Texans are going to be that good. I think they're going to go backwards. They looked good yesterday. They beat a bad Miami team, but 33-8 was that final score. And I always liked Daniel Jones. I thought he needs to be in a better system. I think Shane Steichen's a good offensive mind. And yesterday he was 22 of 29, 272, a touchdown, where Tua has gone in a totally different direction now. 2 more interceptions. I don't know what they're going to do. I think Mike McDaniel's on thin ice right now, because if they don't get better results than this, Tyreek Hill, 4 catches, that's it. Jalen Waddle, 4. They didn't even go over 30 yards each.
Yeah, I remember the whole tank for Tua thing. Well, now Tua is tanking you. Miami is not good. McDaniel is going to get rung at some point this year, probably fired, and I don't know. I don't think it's going to be like within week 2, week 3, week 4.
They're
not going to do that early.
I think he'll be the first midseason or some season firing.
I think it will be during the season, yes. Like
Just because you're with Kyle Shanahan and you have, that tree, doesn't mean you're going to be successful with it. Look at the Bill Belichick guys who've left all over the place. A lot of them haven't been successful as head coaches.
Patricia.
But Patricia's a guy, and so is Josh McDaniels. Both those guys came from that tree, but they're just not cut out to be head coaches.
Joe Judge, remember him with the Giants?
Joe Judge. And I remember, and that brings us to this guy, Mike McDaniels. He came in with his, I'm going to be something different. I'm sort of a nerdy coach. I know all about the metrics. This is going to be great. And it started fine, but now the reality sets in, and they stink. And the Steelers have them on their schedule, which is good news for them.
That'll be fun.
All right, the Raiders, another team that I think will make the playoffs.
I am not
in a big demand here with this pick, but I like the Raiders. Geno Smith, again, 72% completion percentage. He had to make plays. New England at home, I thought, would be better than this, but the Raiders win 20-13. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that the Patriots were going to win this game. I have the Patriots, or at least I did, beating the Steelers in week 3 in New England with that horn going off every third down in Foxborough.
I mean, that could happen because there are going to be upsets along the way. But Drake May was not terribly bad. He had 1 touchdown, 1 pick, 30 of 46. But Geno Smith, 362, 24 of 34, And Genty looked like a first-year player in his first game.
I'm surprised Drake May wasn't better, though. Like, that's what was a little bit surprising to me. Yeah. Like, I had high expectations for him coming into the season. Especially
Brock,
the
Brock Bowers,
weapons.
That's the guy you're on one of your fantasy teams? You have him?
I wish I have him.
Okay, 5 catches, 103 yards, so he continues to do what he does.
He's a stud.
Yeah, Raiders are going to be good. I don't think they're going to be dynamic, but they're going to be good enough in that division, which is a very tough division. All right, Cardinals and Saints. Joe is very high on the Cardinals for what they have over there. James Conner continues to do what he does. They beat the Saints, which are terrible, and they're going to probably be the number one pick again this year. Kyler Murray, 2 touchdown passes. You know, all I can say about James Conner is that he knows how to make plays at critical times, and he made a couple of third down conversions in that game. He also has a nose for the end zone, and the Steelers had him here once. I mean, looking back, that could have been a guy you could have kept here.
It could have been.
But there were injuries, I know that, and it made it harder for them to make that choice.
Right. He was injured, and there were times when he also wasn't very effective. So, like, I understand the reasoning as to why they parted with him. Sometimes the grass for some people is greener on the other side, and maybe James Conner just needed to get out of the city. Maybe he needed to change his scenery to be able to reset his NFL career because he's done a really good job for himself in Arizona. Kyler Murray to Marvin Harrison Jr.
There you go.
It looked pretty good. I expected Marvin Harrison to be better last year than what he ultimately was. This is the start of a very big breakout for him.
Washington Commanders destroy the New York Giants. And that means Joe Starkey is closer to getting his vision of having Jackson Dart be their quarterback because Brian Daboll, after this game, where they only scored 6 points and Russell Wilson didn't do much, pretty much non-committal about who his quarterback will be. Wilson goes 17 of 37 for 168 yards. Sacked twice, and they didn't do anything. And, you know, Washington with Jaden Daniels did a pretty good job over there, so they win easily 21-6. The Giants are in disarray. It's hard for me to imagine a big city like New York over all these years with both the Giants and Jets, and yet none of them is able to put together any sort of dominance in their divisions.
Broncos country.
Let's ride. Well, he's riding his way right to the bench, isn't he?
It's very possible he is. Like, that's kind of the magic of the NFL, though, Bob. Like, you can be the Giants and Jets in the big market city, or you could be the Miami Dolphins in the big market, or the Bears. Does not mean that you're going to be good. And that's why there's so much parity, and it's about drafting. It's about developing. Who has done the worst of anybody in the last 10 years of drafting and developing? The Giants and the Jets are two teams that are right up there at the top.
Despite many high picks, they just can't get it right.
This game was close for a while. It was 14-6 for a good bit. A little surprised that Jaden Daniels didn't come out and just throttle the Giants. Like, they have a good defensive front, but it's, again, that week one rust that you're shaking off, not playing much in the preseason.
If you were a player of survivor football, if you wanted one pick, my advice to people would have been, and I said this on Saturday, was Jaguars at home against the Panthers. The Panthers are terrible.
I picked the Steelers, Bob, in my survivor poll.
Well, I wasn't feeling good about it. But now you can't pick them again either.
I always look
at this as kind of strategic. You know, you have to pick a team that you think could win, but you don't want to rely on them later in the year. Jacksonville was one of those teams. I'm not sold on what Carolina has done down there, and I think they're going to struggle. Plus, I also thought with Liam Coleman as their head coach, at Trevor Lawrence would be better. And he was good yesterday, not great, but they ran the ball. One of their big objectives, we did their game down there with the Steelers, and they said they wanted to force this run issue, which was not very good last year. Travis Etienne, 16 carries, 143 yards.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, Etienne went healthy because he's been banged up in the past. Is a good, effective running back, good chemistry with Trevor Lawrence. What about Bryce Young, though, Bob? Like, did he show anything to you? He didn't really show much to me because this was supposed to be the start of breakout year Bryce Young. He ended last year very strong. Bryce Young was 18 of 35 for a touchdown and 2 picks.
Yeah, not good. And again, that Carolina, they have nothing really to center themselves on this offense. He needs a lot of help, and they're not getting it. All right, the Broncos. Let's ride in the Broncos. And Bo Nix is one of his guys, too. He did not have a good first game, and that's one of the reasons why the Titans were in this for a long period of time. Broncos end up winning 20-12. I think the Broncos' defense is really good, and they're going to make life tough on every quarterback, and they did yesterday with Cam Ward, but very inauspicious beginning for them because I thought they would have their way with Tennessee.
Bo Nix was 25 of 40 for 176 yards, a touchdown, and 2 picks.
2 picks, too.
Yikes.
He started slow last year, too. So
yeah, he started slow in the past. That was definitely a slow start. Titans, Cam Ward showed some flashes, but ultimately not great.
All right, how about the 49ers Seahawks? They're coming here. Seattle makes the trip. We talked about them earlier. They have not much offense at all. They struggled all day running the football. 49ers weren't great either, but they had 10 fourth quarter points. They were losing this game, and Seattle could not close the deal.
Purdy made plays when he needed to in big moments, and Seattle, they got to figure out that running game.